Now, can we turn, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 20, and we'll read at verse 19. Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse 19. We shared this passage a few weeks ago in our ESL class on a Saturday morning with some of the Ukrainian friends, and it promoted an interesting discussion amongst the group, so we trust that it would be of interest to each one again tonight. So reading in John chapter 20 and at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, God will add a blessing again to the reading of his word. We've read this account of the risen Lord Jesus meeting with his disciples on the evening of the first day of the week after he had the day that he rose from the dead, after his death at Calvary, his burial, and then on the third day, he was raised from the dead. He had told his disciples before he was put to death that he would rise again on the third day, and this has now taken place. So by way of a very general comment on this passage, it brings to us the very important truth of the resurrection, the literal bodily resurrection of Christ the Savior. And as we would present the gospel of the Lord Jesus, we would always speak about his death on the cross. That was where he willingly gave himself in the place of sinners. That was where he suffered on the cross of Calvary, suffered not only at the hands of wicked men, but even more significantly, on the cross he suffered at the hands of a holy God on account of man's sin. The scripture says in Isaiah 53, the Lord God laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's a very, very significant verse in the Bible, that God laid on his Son the iniquity of us all. He bore the price for man's sin. That is what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, and he fully paid the price for man's sin. He finished that work of salvation on the cross, and by doing that, he provided a basis for the forgiveness of our sins. For those of sinful humanity who will trust in him as their Savior, there is that salvation based upon the death, the sin-atoning death of the Lord Jesus. But in addition to his death in the place of sinners, dealing with our sins, just as important for the message of the gospel and for the provision of that salvation to make it available for sinners, is the truth of his resurrection from the dead on the third day. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 takes up the truth of the resurrection, and he says that when he went to Corinth to preach the gospel, he declared to them how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And as the apostle continues in that chapter, he says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, it is empty, there is no basis for it. And if Christ be not risen, he says, then your faith is vain. There is no basis for your faith if the Lord Jesus is not the risen, glorified Lord Jesus who has ascended back to heaven to God's right hand. He says, if Christ be not risen, then you would still be in your sins. You would not have a salvation. And so he is emphasizing there the absolute importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ has also once suffered for sins. The just, that's Christ, for the unjust, that's you and I. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, there's his death, but quickened by the Spirit. So he suffered for our sins on the cross. He was willingly put to death in the flesh, his death at Calvary, but then he was quickened, he was made alive by the Spirit. That's his glorious resurrection. And so it's the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus that meets our need as sinners. Again, going back to the Apostle Paul in the closing verses of Romans chapter 4, he says, if we believe on him, God, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So there again, we have his death. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered up to that death on account of our sins before God, our offenses. And then on the third day, he was raised again for our justification. So again, those verses bring to us the death and the resurrection of Christ that meets our need as sinners. And the very next verse in the book of Romans after that, Paul continues saying, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so based on the truth of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the believer in the Lord Jesus who receives the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, they are eternally saved. They receive the forgiveness of their sins. They know that they are justified before God. They are declared righteous. They enjoy this wonderful blessing of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to this passage in John 20, because as the risen Lord Jesus appears to his disciples, in these verses that we read three times over, he brings a greeting of peace to them. He says, as he comes amongst those disciples, peace be unto you. And there would be different aspects of peace that would be in view that we don't need to go into the details of. But again, just thinking of that in a general way, there is peace in the risen Savior. And that's the peace that we would desire for each one in this meeting tonight, to have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the peace that is brought to the soul of every person who receives Christ as their Savior from the very moment of salvation. There is that peace with God. There is that certainty that our sins are dealt with by the Savior through his death on the cross. And we have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a peace that is an eternal peace. It goes on into eternity. It can never be taken away from the believer because the believer's salvation is secure. A believer in the Lord Jesus cannot lose their salvation. And so that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace that the risen Christ offers to you tonight, is a peace that you will have if you take him as your Savior on beyond this life, after death, and on into an eternity that lies before us. And that is a wonderful peace to have in the person of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, for those in this meeting here tonight, do you have that peace through salvation? Do you have that assurance that the Lord Jesus is your Savior? Because there will never be any peace for your soul knowing that if you go on into eternity, if you are yet not saved, if you are still without Christ, if you are in your sins and you go on in that way into eternity, there will be no peace for your soul, knowing that that will mean an eternal separation from God. There will never be any true peace for your soul, knowing that your sins are separating you from a holy God, and they will eternally separate you from God and from his presence if you do not receive the Savior. There will never be any true peace for your soul, knowing that if the risen Lord Jesus returns again tonight, and you're not saved, and you're still in your sins, and the judgment of God for your sins, the reality of that judgment is over your head, then there'll never be any true peace until you know the forgiveness of your sins by coming to the Lord Jesus. But he is the one who is the risen Christ. He's the one who is able to provide that peace for you. And when you think about the truth of the resurrection of Christ, it really declares to us the reality of who he is. He is the divine Son of God. The fact that he was raised again on the third day tells us that this is the one who is worthy of our trust. He was the one who could speak in John chapter 10 to the people, and he could say that I lay down my life and I do so in order that I will take it up again. He says, no man takes my life from me. He says, I have authority to lay it down and I have power. I have authority to take it up again. He says, this commandment I've received of my Father. So he is the Son of God who has the divine authority. He has the right to take up his life again. So the resurrection of Christ tells us who he is. He is the divine Son of God. The resurrection of Christ is the evidence that God is satisfied with the work of salvation that he accomplished on the cross. And God raised his Son from the dead. And the fact that he is the risen Christ in heaven today is the certainty for the believer that he's the one who's coming again to take his own, to take the believers to be with him for all eternity. And so, friend, in this meeting, we tell you that he is the risen Lord Jesus. He is the one who can bring peace to your soul, and he is the one who is worthy of your trust for the eternal salvation of your soul. Now we think of these verses in John 20, and we read how the disciples were gathered together And it says in verse 19 that the doors were shut where they were assembled for fear of the Jews. So here were the disciples. They had followed closely the Lord Jesus. They had just seen him put to death by the Roman authorities. And because it was the demand of the Jewish leaders. And no doubt they were fearful for their own lives. And so the doors are shut. They're locked in. They want to be secure for fear of the Jews. And so that's understandable. It reminds me of the words that the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples that are given to us in Luke chapter 12. And he said to his disciples on that occasion, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that there's no more that they can do. But the Lord says to his disciples, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him." And so the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was warning them about the Pharisees and those religious leaders of the Jews. And he was telling those disciples, don't fear man. Man can only put you to death, and that is all that they can do. But he says, have that reverential fear of God. Have that respectful fear towards the God who is our Creator, the God that we're responsible to, the God that the Scripture says with whom we have to do. Fear him who after he has killed hath power to cast into hell. And for those who go on rejecting the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they will stand before the Lord Jesus as their judge, and he will have that authority to cast all who reject him into hell, into a lost eternity. He will have that authority. And so the Lord Jesus says, fear him. Have that respectful fear of God and the Lord Jesus, the one who has that authority over every one of us. The Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The warning in Scripture is given in the book of Amos, prepare to meet your God. Have that respect towards the God, your God, who is your Creator. And so there were the disciples, and they're assembled there for fear of the Jews. And the risen Lord Jesus appears in their midst, and he says, peace be unto you. And so he miraculously appears in their midst. His resurrection body was not subject to physical limitations. He was able to just appear in their midst, even though the doors were shut. And the first thing that he does there in verse 20 is he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So he showed them the marks of Calvary, the wounds that he had sustained in his body when he gave himself willingly as the Savior. You remember that there were two malefactors, two criminals that were crucified on crosses on either side of the Lord Jesus. He was on the center cross. And those criminals, they would have had pierced hands and feet. But it was only the Lord Jesus that had the pierced side. The soldier, the Roman soldier, pierced his side. John, the disciple, had been at the crucifixion. He saw that happen. And here was indeed the risen Lord Jesus. He showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad. He was risen from the dead, and he is the one who is alive. And he's the one who will forever have those marks, those wounds of Calvary on his body, the evidence of his sacrifice for sinners. And friends, tonight, as you think about this, as you hear about the Lord Jesus tonight, and as you consider it, and we would want you to be thinking about these truths as we speak about them and as we look to the Scriptures, the Word of God, we want you to think about the truth of the Lord Jesus as the Savior who died on the cross. Please understand as you think about this that right this moment there is a risen man in heaven and he bears in his body those marks of his sacrifice, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And through the record of the Word of God that we read tonight, he would want you to consider those wounds. He would want you to think about the sacrifice that he has made to provide salvation for you. He would want to show you his hands and his side through the Word of God tonight. This is the provision for your salvation. The Lord Jesus would want you to consider the truth of his sacrifice upon the cross. And those wounds will be, those marks will be on his body forever, on into eternity. A remarkable thing when you think about this, when God is finished with this present world, and there will be a time that will come when God will be finished with this world according to his purpose. And the Scriptures tell us that the present heavens and the earth, they will be folded up, they will be done away with. And the Bible tells us that for eternity to come, there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. And when that comes to pass, there will be no works of man in evidence. There will be nothing that will display the evidence of the hands of men in that new heaven and in that new earth. There will be none of the man-made machines that are all around us today. There will be nothing of the engineered inventions of men. There will be none of the buildings or the cities that men have built. No such work will bear the marks of the hands of sinful men in the new heaven and the new earth. But the one exception, the only exception to that, will be the wounds that the hands of men inflicted on the Lord Jesus. And those wounds will be in evidence for all eternity. The Apostle Peter, when he was preaching in Jerusalem, he referred to the wicked hands of men who crucified the Lord Jesus and put him to death. He was taken by wicked hands, he was crucified, and he was slain, Peter says. Wicked hands of men, and those wounds will be evident and they will be visible for all eternity. There will always be that remembrance of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus accomplished for sinners on the cross. And believers in the Lord Jesus, those who are saved, those who have received Christ as their Savior, they will be with the Lord Jesus for all eternity. And the Christians will be able to see those wounds on his body, those wounds that declare the basis for our salvation. And we will be glad, like those disciples, when we see those wounds. They will bring joy to us. This is our Savior. This is the one who died for us on the cross. And for all eternity, we will be glad to look on the Savior and see the wounds that he has in his body because he gave himself in death. What a wonderful prospect that is for every Christian. The Bible says we will see him when he comes again. We will see him as he is. Even as he is right now in heaven with those marks of Calvary on his body. But if you reject the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then the only occasion that you will see him, as we've already mentioned, will be that occasion when you stand before him and he will be your judge. The occasion described as the great white throne in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And he will be the judge. And those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus, they will stand before him on that day of judgment, and those wounds will be evident in his body. I don't know that he will demonstrably show the wounds to those that stand before him, but what an awesome thought to be able to see the evidence of the sacrifice that could have saved your soul for all eternity, to see his hands and his side, to see that evidence of that sacrifice that he accomplished to provide salvation. And for all who reject him, that's what they will see, as he will have that authority to cast into hell and to put away from his presence those who never received him as their Savior. A solemn thought. But tonight, friend, he is the risen Christ. He is the one that you can receive now. If you do not know him as your Savior, you can accept him, you can trust in him now. Even this moment, even as you sit in your seat, this very moment, the Lord Jesus is near to you, the risen Christ. He is showing to you his hands and his side. He is saying to you, this is the provision that I made for you at the cross. Receive me, he is saying, as your Savior, and you can have the forgiveness of your sins. And how important that is, to know that your sins are forgiven. Because in the next few verses, the Lord Jesus, he gives some instructions to his disciples there in verses 21 to 23. He's sending them out in service. They're going to be a testimony for the risen Christ in this world. So he breathed on them to give them the power of the Spirit of God for that service. And he gives them these instructions, and we don't need to think about the details of this, but I want to just make one general point. As those disciples were to go out in service for the Lord Jesus, as they were to bear testimony for the Savior, their work would be centered around the matter of man's sins. And so the instruction of the Lord Jesus in verse 23 is, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Their service for Christ was all to do with the matter of man's sins. And that is something that we all need to understand. We all need to accept the matter of our sins. Notice the wording there in verse 23. Whosoever sins, indicating that sins belong to a person. Sins are assigned to a person. The person who commits those sins, whosoever sins, they are that person's sins. They are our sins if we have committed them. And it is our sins that separate us from God. It is the matter of our sins that needs to be addressed if we're ever going to be in heaven. And so this concerns all of us. The scriptures tell us that we've all sinned before God. We've come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1 says that if we say we have not sinned, then we deceive ourselves. We make God a liar, the scripture says there. His word is not in us if we say that we have not sinned. And so there is the reality of our sins. And we need forgiveness of our sins. We need cleansing from the guilt and the stain of our sins if we're going to be in heaven. What is the basis for that forgiveness? What is the basis for cleansing from the guilt of our sins? It's based upon what the Lord Jesus did in his death and in his resurrection. His death on the cross, he shed his blood, precious blood. And the scripture says that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And so this is the only way to have our sins remitted. And that word remitted is the idea of our sins being paid for. They're remitted, they're paid for. And so our sins can be forgiven if they're paid for by the Lord Jesus, if we trust in him. And so the only basis for that forgiveness of our sins, the only basis to have our sins remitted, for the remission of our sins, is by trusting in the accomplished sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Without that cleansing through his precious blood, without that forgiveness, it will be our sins that will maintain that separation from God. But then we read about Thomas. And Thomas was one of the disciples that was not there on that first occasion when the Lord Jesus appeared. And the other disciples go after him. And verse 25, they say, "We've seen the Lord. He's alive." And Thomas is skeptical. And he's doubtful that the Lord was risen. And he expresses that doubt in a very specific way. "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," Thomas says, "I will not believe." The language of unbelief, "I will not believe." So Thomas is saying, I need to not just see the wounds of Calvary, I need to not just see the print of the nails in his hands, I need to put my finger into those nail prints, I need to put my hand into that spear wound in his side. "And unless I can do that," says Thomas, "I will not believe." Now, what was Thomas doing? Basically, Thomas was refusing to believe the testimony of the disciples who had seen the Lord, the disciples that the Lord Jesus had breathed on, and in the power of the Spirit they had gone forth and they had declared the truth of the resurrection of Christ. "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas refused to believe the testimony of those fellow disciples. And I wonder if that is where you are tonight. If the language of your heart is the language of Thomas and you say, "I will not believe." And if that is the case, then we would ask you, well, what would it take for you to believe? Do you need to see the risen Christ with your own eyes? Do you need to see those wounds of Calvary before you will trust in the Lord Jesus? What would make the difference for you? But friend, we want you to understand that the way to blessing, the way to be blessed, is by faith. And the Lord Jesus will say later to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed." It is faith that brings us into the blessing of salvation. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we need to believe the word of God. We need to believe the record of the scripture. We need to believe the testimony of the servants of God who go forth in the power of the Spirit of God, declaring the truth of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what those disciples were doing. Thomas says, "I will not believe." And if you hear the gospel proclaimed by those who go forth in the power of the Spirit of God and you are saying, "I will not believe," you're doing exactly the same thing as Thomas, and you're refusing to believe the testimony of the risen Christ. And we bring you to the word of God. The scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And so you need to believe the record of the scriptures, the record that tells us that God gave his son to be the Savior. And the scripture says, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so you need to believe, you need to trust, you need to have that faith in the truth of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting how Thomas was brought to a confession of faith and of acknowledgement of who the Lord Jesus was, because when the Lord Jesus appeared to them a week later and Thomas was now with them, the first thing that the Lord Jesus does is he says to Thomas, Well, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. It's verse 27. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And so the Lord Jesus was taking up Thomas exactly on the words that he had spoken to the disciples. Thomas had said, except I see those wounds and put my fingers into the wounds and into his side, Thomas has said, I will not believe. And the Lord Jesus appears to Thomas and he says to Thomas, well, here's your opportunity to do what you said you needed to do for you to believe that I have risen from the dead. That's very interesting. The Lord Jesus, he is God. He is divine. He is all-knowing. He's always present. And when Thomas said those words to the disciples, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what Thomas was thinking, the thoughts that were in Thomas's mind. The Lord Jesus knew exactly those words that Thomas had spoken. And he brings that to Thomas a week later. And he says, here's your opportunity to do what you said you needed to do. And you know, as we bring the meeting to a close, we want you to understand that every time you've heard the gospel message about the Lord Jesus, every time you've heard the truth of the risen Savior who died for sinners on the cross, and every time that you've been unmoved, and every time that you've heard the truth of the gospel and you have not believed, the Lord Jesus knows the details of every such time. The Lord Jesus knows the thoughts that were in your mind when you heard about the Savior. He knows the words that were coming into your mind. I'm not going to believe tonight. I'm not going to believe today. He knows the reasons, the excuses, or whatever reasoning you had, like Thomas, except I see these things, I will not believe. The Lord Jesus knows all of those reasonings every time you've heard the message of the gospel. For Thomas, it was just once, and the Lord Jesus knew all about it. And maybe for you, it's been many times. And the Lord Jesus knows every time what you've been thinking, and what your thoughts are about receiving the Lord Jesus for salvation. And yet there is another opportunity tonight. The Lord Jesus is available for you. He's the one who has suffered for you. Are you prepared to believe in him today? Are you prepared to exercise faith and trust in the record of the Word of God that he is the risen Savior who can provide salvation for you? Thomas, when he saw those wounds, he says, my Lord and my God. He made confession with his mouth of what he believed about the Lord Jesus. And the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What would be your confession tonight in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus? Are you able to say honestly, with heartfelt conviction concerning the Lord Jesus, he's my Lord, he's my God, he's my Savior, I believe that he died for me on the cross? Could you make that confession of faith in the Lord Jesus tonight? And if you do, then you will be blessed. As the Lord says to Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The blessing of forgiveness of sins. The blessing, the moment that you're saved, you're sealed and indwelled by the Spirit of God. The blessing of knowing the moment you trust Christ that you're a child of God and that you're a son of God. The blessing of knowing that moment that you're going to be forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. What a tremendous blessing the Lord Jesus has for you tonight. We trust that you would believe in him that you would believe who he is. John finishes this chapter in John 20. He says there's many signs that the Lord Jesus did that have been recorded in this book. And there are many other signs that he did that are not recorded. But those things that are written that you might believe, verse 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's what God desires for you. That's what the Apostle John desires for you as he wrote this gospel, as he wrote about the Lord Jesus, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior that God the Father sent, and that by believing you might have life through his name, the gift of eternal life, the gift of God that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We would desire that you be in the good of this blessing for each one here tonight. We'll close tonight.